Cinnabuds receives support from Associated Bank.
Cinnabuds, Cinnabuds, two buddies talking about cinema.
Well, hello, I'm Dori Zori from Radio Milwaukee.
And I happen to be Christopher Pollard from Milwaukee Film.
Together we are Cinnabuds.
Yeah.
We watched a French film this week.
Ooh la la.
I will say it in English. Yeah. It's called The Crime Is Mine.
Mais alors pourquoi cette tête? Il ne t'a pas offert de rôle.
Je suis une mauvaise actrice, toi une mauvaise avocate, et personne ne nous aime vraiment.
C'est moi une bonne nouvelle.
Inspecteur de la sûreté.
The Crime Is Mine, roughly translated. Ooh la la. No, it's oh, actually, I do see the French was just Mon Crime.
Yeah, pretty simple. Crime, they said it a bunch of times in the movie, too.
It's a new film by François Ozon, who's a very prolific French filmmaker who's done several wonderful movies. The Swimming Pool, In the House, some really great films. And the film is about a young, it takes place in Paris in the 30s. It's about a young actress who's accused of murdering a famous producer. And then she's helped by her friend Pauline, who's a barrister. Or lawyer. I don't know if they call them barristers there. And to help acquit her of the crime, which she may or may not have perpetrated. Mystery.
It is a mystery. It is fun.
Yeah.
It is a little cheeky. It is a little farcical.
Yeah.
But it's a whodunit at its core, and it looks really, really cool, and I'm excited to chat with you more about my thoughts and feelings.
Me too. We had this as a Milwaukee Film member screening. It had a great reaction. Very happy that it's going to be playing at the Oriental Theater now, so everyone can check it out. So I was really excited that we get to talk about it in the podcast. And we're going to talk a lot more about the film The Crime Is Mine right after this, so stick around.
Hey, Wisconsin foodies. This is Tariq Moody of Radio Milwaukee. Join Milwaukee Magazine's food writer Ann Christensen and myself every Friday morning at 8 a.m. for This Bites, Milwaukee's longest-running culinary podcast. We talk about everything from new restaurants, pop-ups, cookbooks, events, and even an occasional interview with a local chef. Head over to RadioMilwaukee.org/ThisBites or listen anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back.
All right, so I'm glad to hear that it was a Milwaukee Film member screening and people loved it. How do you know they loved it?
Well, I literally stand outside the theater.
Scanned, ocular pat-downs.
Yeah, when they come out, I'm standing there looking at them like, yeah. I'm not like super thirsty, but they do volunteer their opinion, no problem. So yeah, a lot of thumbs up, like a lot of people tell me they loved it. And then we also do a ballot. And I think it's definitely gotten the highest ballot score we've had this year for a member screening, but it is early in the year. But I would say within the past year, it's like one of the top two that we've had. So good, really good response.
There were some fun feminist themes throughout this film, don't you think?
I do. And can I tell you a funny story?
Please.
When I was watching this for the first time, so just to recap, a young woman is being like come on to very aggressively attacked by this producer.
She's trying to just get a role on
the classic story of young Hollywood, not so
casting
young as we
yeah.
find out. And then he is found shot to death and she's accused of the crime. So when I was watching it, I got halfway through. And I don't want to give too much away, but let's just say that there is a theme of like, well, be careful if you let women off, they're going to go around killing. It felt like they were making a very different turn than I expected. Then when I got deeper into it, I'm like, oh, I see what they did. Very clever little turnaround.
That's the thing that I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Half of the, half of the men in the film felt that way, and how can we let this woman get away with this crime? And they started making complete assumptions about her character and what happened without any evidence or proof. But then the other half of the people in the background of the film found it empowering that this woman was trying to protect her own virtue, and so she killed a guy. Good for her. She shouldn't be punished. She should be exalted and uplifted. And that's kind of where this film takes very interesting turns.
Yeah. And it was a really wonderful commentary, very obviously. But they did it in a very funny way with, and you got these really like over the top characters. You know, what's really interesting is pair this movie with a very interesting movie called Anatomy of a Fall, which just came out, which just did really well at the Oscars. Because they both show the French legal system. There's like courtroom scenes in both.
Yes.
And even though one is a comedy and one is a serious drama, it is very interesting, if it's at all accurate. The French court system, you're just allowed to just talk anytime. You just, people are just
interrupting
and commenting.
Commenting.
There's no
I'm trying to do it to you right now. Yeah, exactly. You're right. There's no order in the court gavel. Is that a more of an open discourse for conversation, right, and leaves out facts? Or, I mean, is that really how things are? Or just, yeah, it's
and
a
very
good
insulting
way to...
Like, you can just out and out make assumptions and insults to people, which I feel like in the American courts, as flawed as they are, I feel like they would say, don't do that.
Right. There's a little bit more protection for the accused in courtrooms in America, at least, maybe. I don't know.
The great thing, and it's a great scene towards the beginning, I'd say in the first half, where they are the trial to determine whether she is innocent or guilty. It's a very, it's genuinely tense, but it's also very funny. And the way that it builds is really, really fun. I enjoyed that a lot.
The music, the orchestral music score that went along with this was wonderful. It was very reminiscent of films that you would have seen that were out in the 30s. But then it also punctuated, like, I started noticing that there were certain instruments that mirrored what certain characters were saying or feeling. That almost became, I want to go back and watch it again and just listen more for the music.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed any of that, but there was like, I don't know. What they did with the music in this movie was also very brilliant and might go unnoticed the first watch. So if you haven't watched it yet, maybe pay attention and see if you get the drift of what I'm saying.
I know what you're talking about. What it kind of reminded me, at the beginning I noticed it, it was very fun and very like suspicious, like this mysterious yet fun kind of vibe. It reminded me of Clue.
Yes.
Immediately I could remember the music from Clue and how that really enhanced the tone. It essentially says, here's how you're supposed to feel right now. But it's accurate. Like, that's what's happening in the series, supposed to feel.
Are you familiar with any of the actors in this movie, especially the main two women?
No.
Pauline and Madeline, because they were fantastic.
No, I had never seen them before. Obviously, Isabelle Huppert, who comes later in the film, she's a legend. And I didn't know when I started watching it that she was in it. So it was kind of a delightful surprise.
And she plays a legend in the movie.
She does, when she is a legend, but a very different one. And I rarely see her. I'm sure she has done this because I'm not super familiar with her entire canon. But the stuff I've seen with Isabelle Huppert, usually don't see her in a comedy role.
Yeah.
I loved seeing her being really big and like dramatic and dynamic. It was really cool. But no, the main two people I had not heard of, but I immediately looked them up. And I know Nadia Tereskowitz was the main actress. She's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, adorable. I am definitely going to search for more of their movies. I did write down in my notes, I don't know exactly what sparked this, but I did feel it was very Looney Tunes cartoonish at times. And I'm not sure why. Maybe just because there was capers going on and plans and plots and manipulations. And it just, I'm like, I feel like I'm watching the Roadrunner manipulate Wile E. Coyote, especially near the end. And it was really,
accurate. There's a great scene, I think I know what you're talking about too, when they're talking to this very rich man who's the father of her betrothed, essentially, and kind of convincing him to be on her side in a very fun and funny way. But again, we're talking about the music, that music lends itself to that like cartoony vibe of like, it's a mystery, but it's a bit heightened.
Yeah.
I also really enjoyed, so in sort of the second half of the film, the trial leads to this actress's fame. She actually gets pretty famous because of it and leads her into like the Hollywood aspect of it, which I thought was really fun. And it kind of makes a nice, it's not really a twist. It's just like the next plot step.
Mm-hmm.
and seeing that old, I mean, it's not Hollywood, it's in France, but that old movie style being enacted in front of you and how you make your way in that world was also really fun.
The old glam. It made me think about all the famous trials now that anyone, a lot of trials you can watch if that's what your thing, of famous people and how those trials kind of have elevated people's careers, whether or not they've deserved it or not.
Yeah, that's why I liked it. I thought it's really funny that this infamous thing makes everyone feel like, oh, you're a more valid person.
Yeah.
I mean, in this case, you know.
Good for her.
Yeah.
So there were a couple lines in here that really stuck with me. I'm just paraphrasing. The women at one point were just talking about being tired of being seen as children when it comes to their rights, but treated as adults when it comes to their mistakes.
Yeah,
and I think that is such a common theme. Many cultures over decades, still true today
A
lot of ways.
No, that courtroom scene was just like, it's like a summing up of societal, like on which side of the track you're on. And it was really great to see. I mean, you wonder at that time how many people did speak up that just forcefully and easily. But in this case, you get to see that at least played out just so you could very, very clearly see those sides, one of which was ridiculous and one of which made perfect sense.
My last favorite thing about this, seeing this film, Christopher, is now I have a new name that I would like to call people that just are maybe not great at what they do. It's noodles. My new insult is as sassy as I get. If I call you noodles, that's as bad as it's probably going to get.
Let me just say that for you, that is as probably bad as it gets. Yeah. You noodle.
You noodle.
Dory, are you okay? What's going on? She called me a noodle.
That's when you know I need some help.
No.
All right, so
yeah, very excited
recommend
about
seeing The Crime Is Mine. I feel like it was a very easy read. It's subtitled, but in the easiest, most wonderful way. I had no problems keeping up with the subtitles. I'm kind of a slow reader when it comes to stuff like this, and there was so much cool stuff stylized. This movie's so stylized. It was so fun to look at.
Yeah. No, like I said, we had such a good response to our members. Really loved it. So, yeah, depending on when you're listening to this, it comes out this weekend at the Oriental Theater. And this weekend at the Oriental Theater, I believe, is March 15th?
15th, 16th, 17th. Go see it in an old-fashioned movie house.
Yeah. But the question that's on my mind, Dory, is what else have you been watching?
I went back and rewatched in anticipation for part 3 in July, the first two Deadpool films.
I
adored them back when I saw them the first time. I haven't seen either one for a while. Delight. Still hold up. If you don't like superhero movies, that's okay. That's not what these Deadpool films are. The typical like X-Men movies. Although they're just so funny and clever, and they give like they break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a movie fanatic to get the humor. I mean, like Ryan Reynolds is literally making fun of Ryan Reynolds, the real person in most of these movies.
That's
it's
right.
pretty great. So yeah, I would suggest rewatching those because
they're
delightful.
When is that coming? Is it coming out
July 25th?
Oh yeah, I love the Deadpool movies unapologetically. People sometimes will roll their eyes, and you're right. They're a superhero movie, but they're mainly a comedy
and an action comedy.
Action comedy.
For sure, there's action,
and they're very funny. Even the lowbrow humor is smart. I genuinely think, like, you can have lowbrow, you know, butt jokes, whatever, but they're all done really well.
Super smart.
And I'm a fan of Ryan Reynolds. No matter, I mean, so far, he has done nothing to harm me.
No.
Or anyone
or
else.
Other people.
Or anyone
as
else.
I know.
Yeah. So, fingers crossed. No, but he's genuinely a very funny person. And
I can't imagine who else would be Deadpool at this
point. No, even before when they had this whole fan campaign for Deadpool to happen, everyone was saying he's the obvious choice.
Nice.
And then they put him in the terrible, terrible Wolverine movie it was before Deadpool's came out.
Yeah.
They had him as Deadpool, but then covered his mouth in this weird, it, so it's like did literally the opposite you should do for Deadpool. Anyway.
Well, I mean, in both one and two, there are, he talks about Wolverine.
Yeah, they reference it like crazy.
And that's what this third one is.
It's so very good.
I can't wait. What have you been watching?
So I've watched a lot of screeners for the upcoming Milwaukee Film Festival, but I can't talk about them yet.
Well, that makes a fun podcast. Okay, so we're done. Bye.
But I think we've announced and we can say that you and I are going to have a fun little event.
Yes.
Yeah. Cinebuds Live is going to be back at the theater. And this does go into what else we've been watching, because I did recently rewatch Footloose.
Celebrating a big anniversary.
Yeah. Cinebuds Live is going to do the 40th anniversary of Footloose at the cinema at the Oriental Theater during the festival.
Day.
Yeah.
414, baby.
You come out, you watch the movie with us, and then we're going to do our podcast live on stage.
Everybody cut, everybody cut.
Guys, everybody cut. If you come away with nothing from this show, everybody cut.
Footloose.
I've seen this movie, interestingly, like three times in the last like 4 or 5 years. I definitely watched it during the pandemic, and I watched it not too long ago. It came on some other platform. I happened to be, I'm like, yeah, I'll watch it again. I really love that movie.
Me too. It reminds me of a very specific time in my very young life where Kevin Bacon was my entire world. And thank goodness he ended up being a wonderful adult. And yeah. I follow him on Instagram. And if you don't, you should. Because maybe you want to watch him playing a guitar, singing to a llama that he that is in his barn that isn't really a fan of his.
I do, Dory. I do want to watch that. No, yeah, I'm very excited about it. Can't wait for it. So I rewatched it recently again. Perfect.
We'll see you on April 14th at the Footloose screening at the Oriental Theater for the Milwaukee Film Fest. Where can people go? Have you started releasing some teasers?
Yeah, we announced a handful of films so far, and we'll be announcing a few more. Then I'd say toward the end of March, we'll have the full lineup. And then April 1st, I know it's April Fool's Day, but it's not a joke. April 1st for members get to buy tickets. And then a couple days later, the whole city can start buying tickets.
Are you doing a book?
Yeah, we'll have a program book. That'll come release? The full lineup will be online before the book comes out. But book should come out like first week of
April.
That's
the time we live in now.
Yeah.
Don't have to find you in a park to go get a book. Although that was always super fun.
No, I know that's true. Yeah, we used to go out and have everyone come to us.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was great. But it'll still be out there. The book will be all over town, you know, first week of April, but it'll be online about a week prior to that.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've got a couple people also to thank. Thank you for listening, dear sweet podcast listener, till the very end. As you know, we'd like to thank our producer, Kim Shine, who really does make us sound as good as
listenable.
Humanly possible.
And thank you to Newski with his wonderful intro song for Cinebuds.
And we have sponsors from time to time of Cinebuds, but we'd like to thank our consistent sponsor, Associated Bank. You guys are the best.
Thank you so much. And thank you to all of our members, both from Radio Milwaukee and from Milwaukee Film. We couldn't do this without you.
We'll see you at the Milwaukee Film Festival.
Yay!